It's such a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. God, you're good all the time. He is good. Is it not the goodness of God that leads us to repentance? We see God's love, God's mercy, God's goodness displayed for us at the cross. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. For weeks we talked about what it meant to really believe. It means more than just agreeing with my mind that that is a true fact of history. But it means to put your trust, your faith, your hope in Him. Amen. And the fruit of the Spirit is the evidence of true salvation. Amen. Your heart changes. There's a different perspective. Things have shifted away from self-centeredness to Christ-centeredness. And there's love, agape love in your heart. That love that means it doesn't matter if you love me back, I'm going to love you. We are supernatural people because we have a supernatural God in us. And we can do the impossible because the God of who is limitless is within us. He can do the impossible. And, you know, we may say, well, it's really hard for me to love that one. And we all know what I'm talking about, right? There's certain people that it's really hard to love. You know, by the grace of God, we can do it. Through Christ, we can do anything. Amen? Through the grace that He supplies. We have to shift away from self to Him. In ourselves, we don't have the capability of loving enemies. When you say amen to that? It's not from the self life or the self-centered life. It's from a Christ-centered life. And by the grace of God, we can do those things. And it's basically God living His life out through us. And we are simply cooperating in the process. We are partnering with Jesus in the process. So it's not like we're not involved in this. We're just saying, yes, Lord. Now it's about You. It's about Your will and Your way now. And I deny myself the right of ownership, the right of lordship. And I give that over to You. Now You bought me with Your blood. I belong to You, and now You reign over me as Lord. And that means what You say supersedes what I think. If He says, you go, and myself may be saying no, guess who has to win out? Amen? We have to say yes to Jesus and no to self every day. And every time you're saying yes to Jesus, you're saying life. Amen? You're saying yes to life. Whenever we say, no, God, I'm going to do my own thing, it's death. This is how it works. You want to be in revival, personal revival, walk in the Spirit. Amen? And don't gratify your sin nature. Don't listen to your flesh. Your flesh says, I don't want to do it. I don't want to get out of bed. I don't want to go to church. I don't want to read. I don't want to pray. I don't want to witness. My flesh is always warring, isn't it? So what you have to do is put that part of you to death. You have to deny that part of you. Like I heard someone say one time, starve your flesh to death. Starve it out. Don't feed it. Don't pay attention to it. Say yes to the Lord and build up your spirit. Amen. Grow in the Spirit. And so that God has more of you to work with. You know, God's only going to have us to the degree that we're willing to let Him have us. I'll say it again. God's only going to have us to the degree that we let Him have us. If you want to be full of the Lord, full of the Spirit, it means I have to say no. Deny or totally or utterly disown myself is what that means. So that I might follow Him. And life and peace is in the Spirit. You know what I'm talking about? We can have a great Thanksgiving dinner and fellowship together, but we can leave totally empty. You know, you may be full in your stomach, but you can feel pretty empty after it's all said and done. Unless Christ is the center of that. Amen? Unless He is your bread. He has to become our bread, folks. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And that's why His word is precious to us, because it is our bread. Amen? And we need to get, as the hymn says, we need to get beyond the sacred page. We need to get beyond just the written logos. Amen? To the rhema, to the life. Christ is the sum of our total of all spiritual things in us. He is our life. So it's not about just getting more information, but the information is to point us to someone. It's not about just learning more scripture so I can be smart and win a debate. It's so that I may know the one that the scripture talks about. Amen? To encounter and know him personally, intimately, to have a relationship with God. That was the very purpose for which we were created in the first place. We were made for him, to walk with him, to have fellowship with our Father. Through sin that had been severed, but God has brought us back through his Spirit. Amen? Through his blood. Lord, thank you today for everybody that's here. Thank you for your sweet, wonderful presence, Lord, that fills the atmosphere and fills our hearts and our minds today. And God, we just pray that you'll continue to guide and direct everything we do in this place today. In the name of Jesus the Messiah, anoint our ears to hear what you are saying, Lord Jesus, to the church, to me in particular. Amen. You know, it's very rare, yet the Bible talks much about giving, but it's very rare that I talk about giving in the sense of monetary giving. We know that what we're to give back to God is our bodies. Amen. That means we're to give our lives back to God. You know, God doesn't need our money. He owns it all. Amen. And God forbid that we should manipulate or cause someone to give out of any kind of sense of guilt or shame or whatever. When we give, we're supposed to give cheerfully and because of the love of God in our hearts to give. And we want to listen to the voice of God when we give. Amen. And don't give out of impulsion or any other reason, but we give as unto the Lord and not unto man. And Jesus said, give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and what? Running over. And he said, men shall give into your bosom. God will take care of you and I as we take care of his business. We are to seek first, Matthew 6:33, the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto us, the things that we have need of. God says, you pay attention to what I'm telling you to do. Take care of my kingdom business, and I'll take care of those things. You don't have to stress it. You don't have to worry about it. You don't have to worry about what the government's up to or what the government's going to do for you. Amen. How many know our source is not the government? Amen. Our source is the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. The Lord may use the government, but it's not our source. So we don't need to be fearful. We don't need to be worried about the future or what's going to happen under the new administration. And, you know, don't look at those things. Look at God, who is the source. Amen. How many know that God has anointed Donald Trump and placed him in office? Yeah, whether we like it or not, he's the one that God chose. So he's there. What we need to do is get behind him. We need to pray. Amen. Pray that God will direct him. Hallelujah. But giving should be from our hearts as unto the Lord. Amen. And I want to say this because, you know, you and I have all witnessed times and maybe people that you've seen on television or wherever where they've tried to make people give out of guilt, you know, or to manipulate somebody's emotions to give. How many know that that's the wrong motivation to give? You never should give for that reason. So I'm just determined to say, Lord, we're not going to do that. We're not going to beg people. We're not going to have 1-800 numbers with 1999 gifts, right? And send your whatever and your hundredfold blessing on its way. We're going to trust you. We're going to ask God to provide for our needs. And we're going to ask God to move upon his people that they would simply, all we ask is that you be obedient to whatever God tells you to do. Amen. And sometimes God may stretch you beyond what you think you can do. But sometimes you'll be tested in the area of giving. How many know that God is a giver? Amen. Because he's a lover. And giving is loving. When you give to somebody, you're loving that person. Amen. Unless you're giving because, all right, quit bothering me about it here. Take it, you know. But no, because you want to give, right? Because of love. And let me just tell you this. This is a testimony that God has miraculously provided for this church. Ever since we've been here, we have never gone without. We've always been able to make every bill, pay every bill, and meet every need. Thank God for that. Amen. And has anybody ever witnessed, don't lift your hand if you have, us manipulating or trying to manipulate anybody to give? Anybody? I wanted to say that, folks, because it's no different in your personal life. You know, you and I have needs. We have personal needs. You want God to take care of those? It's pretty simple. He said, take care of my business. All right? That's the message on giving today. Take care of my business, I'll take care of yours. Amen. Seek the kingdom of God above everything else. And I've also discovered that when I seek God and I seek his heart, I don't have any fear, I don't have any worry in that place. In his presence, there's peace. In his presence, there's real joy. Amen? And that joy is my strength. In his presence, there is perfect love that casts out all fear. Amen? So if you find yourself fearful and worried, just get into God's presence. Get into his presence. Seek his face. Amen? Come before his presence with singing. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise. Hallelujah. Sometimes you got to battle, you know, through some stuff. We're used to the drive-through, you know, mentality in America, you know. We got those drive-through prayers, you know, pop-up prayers, you know. Well, I just go in and I place my order. It should be here any second now, you know. Sometimes it's yes right away. Sometimes it's no. Sometimes it's wait, right? How many love those waiting times? We know he's going to come through, right? Because we believe. And you know, a father's responsibility is to provide, right? To provide and to protect. And that's what our Father in heaven does for his children. He will provide and he'll protect. So when you pray, you can come before the Father and say, Father, as my Father, I know it is your responsibility to take care of me. Amen. Because I belong to you. You created me for you. And I know that you love me, and therefore I know you're going to take care of me. As a father, he will provide. He will take care of you. But you have to seek first the kingdom of God. And you got to listen to his voice. You got to listen to his voice. God gives instructions. He gives us instructions. He gives us wisdom. If we lack wisdom, let us ask for it. Lord, what do I do? How do I deal with this? How do I get through this thing? And God will say, well, do this. He usually gives you just one step at a time. You ever notice that? Take this step. Make this call. Go see this person. God is faithful. He'll take care of you. Don't worry. If you find yourself being worried, it means you need to get closer to him. I don't know where I'd be today. I would be probably bouncing off the wall somewhere in a rubber room if it wasn't for the Lord. You know, seriously, the pressures and the things that we have to deal with, you know. And especially in ministry, you know, people think, oh, it must be an easy thing what you're doing. It's an impossible thing that I'm doing, but I can do it because of God's grace and his ability. And that's the only way. If I try to do it independent of him, it ain't going to work out. It's the same thing for all of us here. You try to live, you know, just kind of with a part-time occupation with Jesus, and just once in a while I'll punch in the clock and have a little moment with him. And no, God wants us to walk with him daily. Amen. He said he'll direct our path. Trust him. How many here have learned how to turn to the Lord in your time of trouble? It's usually a no-brainer, right? If we're really in a bind or and we're having a problem or something has just happened, most people, even people that don't really believe, know enough to go to the man upstairs, right, as they would say, and ask him for some help. God, if you get me out of this one, I'll serve you. We make bargains with God, right? If you do this for me, I'll. How many times have we said that, right? And then as soon as you got what you wanted, well, so much for your end of the bargain, right? Well, I think we've learned how to do this. We have a sick loved one. We go to the Lord and we pray and say, God, please help my sick loved one. And we pray for ourselves as well, don't we? But, you know, folks, on the other hand, there's a danger of turning away from the Lord when things are going smoothly in our lives. Because we may be tempted to shift our confidence away from him to self. Isn't that how it works? Have you ever caught yourself doing that? It's like things are going really good right now in your life. Everything's pretty smooth. No worries. You know, there's, you know, all the bills are paid. Life is pretty easy right now. And the greatest temptation, folks, is the time of prosperity, you know, of turning away from God to self. In other words, from being Christ-centered back to self-centeredness. And there's a pattern throughout history. You can see it. where people have begun in a time of spiritual awakening and revival. And as a result of God's visitation and God's blessing and outpouring, there's been prosperity, often financial prosperity in the land. And everybody is rejoicing in the abundance of God and hopefully giving thanks to God. Amen. For everything. And then the next thing that happens is often people then begin to shift into this thing called apathy. Complacency, you know, just kind of goes, it's a spiral. And then from this place of apathy, you end up finding yourself back in bondage again. And now you need another awakening in your spirit. Throughout history, folks, in America as well as in Israel, we see the pattern in Israel. That's the way it was. They went through this cycle. They did good. They were in revival. They were blessed by the Lord. They forgot the Lord. They went after idols and other gods. They became idol. Amen. I-D-L-E. Amen. That was the sin of Sodom, you know. It was idleness, fullness of bread, you know. What do we have need of? And that's kind of what's happened in America, I think, to a great degree. And, you know, our Father is a loving Father. And any father that really loves his children will discipline his children. Amen. You got to take the Board of Education to the seat of understanding once in a while, right? So that we can learn, we can become wise. Because if we don't discipline our children, they don't learn self-discipline. They become undisciplined adults. Can somebody say amen? We see that in the streets today. Folks, that's what it is. Nobody tells me what to do. There's no such thing as authority in my life. I'm free. How many know that without authority and without an authority structure, there's chaos? People will run amok and hurt and maim and kill, and all kinds of horrible things take place when there is a breakdown of law in society. And if we are raising children within the home in a situation where our children are not being disciplined, they don't learn self-discipline, and then they become undisciplined adults without any respect for authority because they never learned it growing up. And now we are reaping the fruit of the humanist, of the wisdom of the world that says, oh, you don't need to damage little Johnny's fragile ego. We need to have some discipline. And God loves us and He disciplines us because we're His kids. And so I appreciate, not necessarily at the time, but I appreciate the discipline of the Lord in my life. And sometimes, Mels, I heard you say this one time, but God speaks to us softly. And then He speaks a little louder. And then a little louder. You know what I'm saying, somebody? And God can get pretty loud if we're not listening. And I've discovered something. It's always wise just to say yes to Papa, right? And say, okay, yes, Father, I'm gonna do your way. I'm not going to have it my way anymore. Because success has a tendency to breed carelessness. And we're going to look at Joshua chapter 7 today. And the title of today's message is The Danger of Hidden Sin. So Israel had just witnessed God's divine intervention. God had stopped up the water of the Jordan so that they could cross over on dry land. God helped Israel destroy the kings of Sion and Og in battle. And then, of course, the great one that most of us are really familiar with was the walls of Jericho that fell. Amen. God gave them a great victory. But then God told them, He warned them not to take of any of the accursed things in the land. And I want to get into that a little bit more here as we go on. And so life was good for Israel. They were seeing victory after victory. God was obviously with them. And God was helping them. And you know, sometimes we assume because we've had past victories that that's going to guarantee future victories. But we have to be very careful because success in life is determined on whether or not we're going to listen to the right voice. And sometimes that which others do will affect you. And the things that you do will affect others. People say, well, nobody sees what I do. What I'm doing is just between me, myself, and I. It's not going to influence anybody else. And so we have this tendency to think that what I do in secret is not going to affect anybody else. How many know that's why people keep things a secret? They don't want anybody to know what's actually going on. How many know there are no secrets with God? How many know it's a good idea just to say, Lord, you see it. I want to come into the light. I want to deal with it. I want to get rid of the junk. Amen? I don't want to bury anything in my heart that's displeasing to you. I want to get rid of it. If there's unforgiveness, whatever it might be, bitterness, resentment towards someone. Self-confidence. We've talked a lot about self-confidence. It's misdirected confidence. We hear a lot about this thing called self-confidence. Well, you've got to have self-confidence. Actually, the Bible teaches Christ confidence, not self-confidence. You can achieve things with self-confidence. Can you say amen? But if it's just self-confidence and your confidence is in you, then the fruit of whatever you achieve amounts to zero. Zero. All that you achieve independent of God's will is zero. Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. If we want to bear fruit that lasts forever, then we're going to have to learn how to say no to self and yes to the will of God. Self-confidence is a misdirected confidence. You know, even after a personal victory, folks, we have to be very careful when things are going well and we're having success, even in spiritual matters. Even if it's a spiritual victory of some kind, you prayed for somebody that God miraculously healed them. Watch yourself right afterwards. Amen? We have to turn away from self-confidence and realize that it's God, amen, who deserves the glory for the things He has done. And I'm just privileged to be a part of what He's doing. He lets you do that. He lets us. And it's fun to walk with Jesus. Amen? To watch God work through our lives. But we have to be very careful that we don't shift away from God and then become self-confident and become proud. Because as soon as we become proud, God begins to withdraw His grace. He gives His grace to the humble. He gives His grace to the poor in spirit, the ones who say, I know apart from Him I can do nothing. So when God saves us, He connects us to a body. To His body. The body of Christ is the church. Amen. It's not some ecclesiastical system. Amen. It's not some corporate system in this world, as some would like you to think that the church is some kind of corporate entity. It is, but it's a living organism. It means that we are lively stones that make up the body or the building of Christ. Amen. So the church is actually the people and not the building and not the denomination or whatever it might be. So we understand this, right? But when we are born again, we are then placed in the body of Christ and we become part of something bigger than ourselves. Imagine that. There was nothing bigger than me before, you know. I was so much older then. I'm younger than that now, right? Yeah. So our personal choices can and do affect others in this body. So as a believer, folks, we got to understand something, that as a believer, as part of Christ's body, we are personally responsible for our conduct. We have to be very careful that we maintain our walk closely with Jesus and that we don't allow anything defiling in us, that we're not looking, gazing on or meditating on anything that would defile, because we are a member of Christ's body. And if a member of your body gets infected, how many know that that can spread? Sometimes amputation is the only solution. But God wants to heal. God wants to restore. And God wants to make new. So what I do as a personal in my personal life does have an effect on the body. We come to church and people are in the right place. I'm talking about the people of God. We're prayed up. We have a pure heart. We're right standing with the Lord. And we come together with a heart to seek the Lord and to give an offering of praise and thanksgiving to Him. It's a glorious time. The more purity of heart that we have, the greater the encounter of God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And so as we're coming together, we have to understand that I'm not only responsible for my own life. God gave you charge of it, didn't He? In that sense, you are responsible. But I'm responsible as my brother's keeper. So what I allow in my life will influence others around me. In fact, Wayne, you said it this morning. You're talking about the mothering thing, how a mother, what she ingests, you know, will be translated, I don't know how you say it, back into the breast milk, and then the child will receive the nourishment of whatever the mom is actually feeding on. Amen? And he was telling an example about eating chocolate, that the chocolate would have a bad effect on the child, right? Because it would be also passed on to the child. Do you understand that we're all like that, folks? We're going to be feeding on something. Amen? And then what we feed on is also going to be released to others. It will affect others around us. And God wants His house clean. He wants His people pure. Folks, I love the gifts of the Spirit. I love to see people healed and set free and all the wonders that God does with the gifts, you know. But folks, the most important thing of all is that His people are pure. That we have a pure heart. That's what God wants. He wants a bride. He wants a virgin, if you will. Spiritual virgin. He wants a people who are pure, who have kept themselves for Him. That's why we celebrate communion, amen? And that's why we're careful about our daily walk and our conduct, because we do not want to, if you will, commit adultery. We do not want to commit spiritual adultery by doing things or allowing things in our lives that God disapproves of. You know, when you met your boyfriend or your girlfriend, think back in the day, you know, you're in love. And boy, the last thing you would want is for your girlfriend to give herself away to somebody else. Amen? Or your boyfriend to give himself away to somebody else. No. Why? Because there's a good kind of jealousy there. You want them to be just for you. Would you agree? Likewise, it is in the Spirit. God wants you to be just for Him. He doesn't want you bowing down to other gods. He doesn't want you putting other things before Him and His purpose for your life. Because God wants to grace His bride and make her beautiful. He wants us to be pure and holy and beautiful in His sight. But that takes a cooperation on our part. Just like it does in an earthly relationship, you have to be willing. It has to be consensual, amen, that we're going to keep ourselves pure. I'm not going to give myself to anybody. You don't give yourself to anybody, amen. We're just for each other. That's the way it is in the Spirit. And that's why God grieves over His people when we do things that are in a sense cheating on Him, because He is jealous over God, over us. Now, let's take a look here. This is a little history background, okay? Previous to the fall of Jericho, God warned Israel that when they go into the city, they are not to take of any of the accursed things. That these are things that were devoted, in other words, devoted things that were to be given to the Lord. And I believe if you break it down, it's not just things that were to be given to God that people were not to steal or take to themselves. But there are also certain things that God says, I want you to destroy, get rid of, eradicate from the camp. I don't want it in your camp. Otherwise, you'll become defiled by it. So in Joshua chapter 6, verse 18, he says, and you, by all means, abstain from the accursed things, lest you become accursed. When you take of the accursed things and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it.
But all the silver and gold and vessels of bronze and iron are consecrated to the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. So God is saying, there are certain things that I'm forbidding for you to allow in your life or in your camp. When you go in, don't touch it. It's holy unto the Lord. It belongs to God. Amen? The silver and the gold and the bronze and all these other precious metals, they were to be given into the treasury of the Lord. So not only would a curse come upon the individual who disobeyed, but on the entire camp of Israel. God told Israel that certain items were marked for destruction. In other words, don't touch these things. Because if you do, not only are you going to bring a curse upon yourself, but you're going to bring the curse into the camp. Now, I want to relate this to the body of Christ today because it is very true, even in the New Testament, that Paul said a little leaven leavens the whole lump. If we as individuals allow certain things in our lives that God forbids, you're actually bringing that leaven. Leaven, you know, is what makes bread fill up. I don't know how to say it. Rise. Thank you. But a little leaven, he says, just a little bit of yeast and, you know, and dough will make that whole thing rise up. And he's saying that's what sin's like. He says, you got to get rid of the sin. You got to get rid of the yeast in your life. Amen. Be pure before the Lord. Now, it's not something you can personally do. You can't change your heart. Can you agree? We really can't change our hearts. Only God can change our hearts. But what God does look for is an honest heart, a willing heart, a heart that says, God, I want this junk out. I don't want this anymore in my life. I want to be free. And I want to be pure. And I don't, in any way, I don't want to defile the body of Christ by what I'm allowing in my life. As a matter of fact, the Bible says if anyone destroys the temple of God, God will destroy him. Serious business. I'm not talking about people that come in that don't know Christ. I'm talking about the body, those who are members of Christ. Amen. We're not to give ourselves to anything that defiles. And then in Joshua chapter 7, verse 1, it says, but the children of Israel committed a trespass regarding the accursed things. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed things. So the anger of the Lord burned against the children, plural, of Israel. An individual compromised, and the anger of God broke out against the camp. How many here have been in the military? You ever been subject to corporate punishment? Somebody messes up and everybody pays? I think the lesson in that, and I want you to hear this, is that we are to be so united and so together. And we are a team. Amen? And so if somebody touches a member of my team, it's like touching me. We're in a sense in a covenant together as a unit. Amen? I remember one time a guy lost his M16. And man, they had the whole post shut down. And we're all like just foaming at the mouth, man. We're like, where is he? Where is he at? You know. And the poor guy, I hope they didn't catch him, But you know, it was something that we all experienced the pain of the mistake of an individual. And you know, I believe that there's a purpose in that and there's a lesson in that again. So that we understand that we're responsible for each other. And what I do can affect others around me. Amen? Your unit is only going to be as good as your weakest member. And we need to take care of each other. You know, and keep each other accountable and help each other, you know, and God wants his body to be together, to be united, but to be pure. And so verse 2, Joshua 7, Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Beth Avon on the east side of Bethel. Spoke to them saying, go up and spy out the country. So the men went up and spied out Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said to him, do not let all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up to attack Ai. Do not be weary, all the people there, for the people of Ai are few. In other words, They're saying, hey, don't sweat it. It's a small city, piece of cake. We've got more than enough people to do this. Just send a couple thousand guys and we'll get the job done. Besides, we've just witnessed victory after victory. And God has brought us through. I mean, we just conquered Jericho by the grace of God, right? So, okay, they take the advice. They send these guys out. And what happens? Uh-oh. Verse 4, so about 3,000 men went up there from the people, but they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai struck down about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gates as far as Shebarim, and struck them down on the descent. Therefore, the hearts of the people melted and became like water. So what happened? They went in with full confidence they were going to take this city. 36 men were struck down. It turned out to be a disaster. And now they're like, what in the world is going on here? This should have been easy. And yet, not only were the men struck down, but it says that their hearts melted within them. They lost hope. They lost strength. They lost courage. And they fled in fear from their enemies. How could this be? Because, folks, listen, sometimes there's no obvious reason why we fail in life. Sometimes it's obvious, but other times it's not so obvious. It's like, why couldn't I do that? Or why didn't I get the victory in this? And sometimes, you know, God is wanting to tell us something. God is wanting to reveal something to us to let you know that this is the reason why you're not overcoming this problem or this giant, if you will. Because there's something hidden. There's something that you're not aware of, and I want you to become aware of it so that you will give me permission, because God will not barge the door down. Amen. He won't barge in. You give me permission to come in and to root out that thing that's hindering you. So Joshua, I mean, he was devastated and he fell on his face. And in verse 6, he tore his clothes. He fell to the earth on his face before the ark of the Lord until evening. He and the elders of Israel, and they put dust on their heads. That was a sign of repentance in those days. And I want you to hear something in the verse 7 here. This is Joshua's prayer. But I want you to notice something, that God is being blamed for the defeat. Joshua said, "Alas, Lord God, why have you brought this people over the Jordan at all to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites, to destroy us? Oh, that we had been content and dwelt on the other side of the Jordan." Now they want to go back. These are the same ones. Understand that Joshua and Caleb were the ones that said, "We can go in, we can take the land, we can conquer it, no problem." There's a lot of other people that didn't believe that. They said, "Oh, there's giants in the land. They're bigger than we are. We're like grasshoppers. You know, they eat us for breakfast, you know." But Joshua and Caleb stood up and said, "No, we can do it." Why? Because God promised us the land. Now Joshua is saying, "God, why did you allow this to happen? Or why did you do it, really?" He said, "To deliver us into the hand of the Amorites, to destroy us? Oh, that we had been content to dwell on the other side of the Jordan." How many times has God been blamed for the choices that people make? The choices that you might have made, or choices that others might have made. And you are affected by it. How many know that God really is good? He's a good God. He's a loving Father. "Oh, Lord," he said in verse 8, "what shall I say when Israel turns its back before its enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land will hear it and surround us and cut off our names from the earth. Then what will you do for your great name?" So now God interrupts Joshua's pity party. And he reveals the problem. So the Lord said to Joshua, and I believe he probably said, it's like a tent hut, you know, "Get up. Why do you lie thus on your face? Israel has sinned. And they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. For they have even taken of the accursed things and have been both stolen and deceived. And they have also put it among their own stuff." So again, the question is, well, why is everybody suffering for this one man's sin? And not only that, they had no idea what was going on because it was a secret. It was a secret sin. And folks, we have to examine ourselves and make sure that we are not allowing a secret sin. Something that we may think nobody sees, nobody knows, but that secret that you're holding on to, that secret sin does and can influence people around you. Amen. How many know that parents are example? Our children are reading. Amen. They watch more than they hear. They watch what we do. He says they put this stuff among their own stuff. Now, I want to have an example here of an engine. I thought Omer would appreciate this one. You know, it's beautiful when that engine is just running, purring like a kitten. You know, everything is in its place. You know, all the cylinders are hitting, you know. But you get one spark plug that goes out, you know. And, man, all of a sudden that thing is just like running really rough all of a sudden. You know. And you see how every part of that engine is important, right, Doran? Every part of that engine is important. You got to have every part working correctly. And every part, amen, you can't put, I don't know if we even use carburetors anymore, you can't put an alternator where your carburetor is, amen? It has to be in its place, right? But it all has to be in its place so that that engine is running efficiently and it's running effectively so that you have production, amen? You can get somewhere with it. That's really an example of the body of Christ, too. Every member is important, but every member has to be in its rightful place, and every member has to be functioning properly, amen? We can't have defective parts in the sense that we cannot be allowing things in our lives deliberately that we know God disapproves of, amen? Because it will influence the overall health of a local body. You come into some churches, man, they're alive, they're full of love. The people, you know, are just flowing and moving together in the Spirit. You come to other churches, man, there's contention and fighting, or they're dead. You know, there's no life in that church. And you have to ask the question, well, something's broken here. Something's not working. Something's not functioning properly. It could be that there's no oil, amen, and it's burning up, or there's no fuel in the tank. Somebody say amen. We need fuel, right? We need the fuel of God's Holy Spirit and the Word. But we need all these things. We need all these things to function properly as a body. So God, He interrupts Joshua. He reveals to him what's going on. And then basically he says, listen, there's sin in the camp. Somebody disobeyed my word. And I was thinking about, well, most of us have been aware of what's happening, but even in the government, you know, what goes on behind closed doors, secret societies, things that happen, you know, affect all of us. What our government does, good or bad, affects us. We reap what's being sowed, amen? And so it's very important that we understand this, that as an individual, I must be responsible for my personal walk. Not only for my own benefit, but for your benefit. And most importantly, for the glory of God, amen? Because you and I are representatives of Him in this world. And people say, so you're a Christian. What does a Christian look like? Let me observe your life. Let me examine this Christian. How many know the world is looking? And how many know that apart from Christ, you're not going to do a very good job? You need His grace. You need to pray and say, God, grant me the grace. Grant me the ability, amen, to live this life before you, before man, that they may see the fruit of my life, the good works, and they may bring you glory. What is done in private has a public effect. What's the cure? Well, you got to get rid of the accursed things. God doesn't tolerate sin. Do you know that? Because sin is destructive. Listen to Ezekiel chapter 33:11. Say to them, as I live, says the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn away from your evil ways. For why should you die, O house of Israel? So God does not delight in punishing. But you know, folks, again, if we've got gangrene in our foot, you know, If you care about yourself at all, and the doctors did everything they could to try to treat that gangrene, to fix that problem, but it's just not going to be fixed, you have to get the knife out and you have to cut it off. Otherwise, it could destroy your entire body. You understand how important it is as the body of Christ that each one of us individually maintain a pure heart. Amen? For the sake of the Lord and for others especially. Yep. And so God told Joshua in verse 13, get up, sanctify the people, set apart yourselves for tomorrow. Because thus says the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in your midst. O Israel, you cannot stand. Listen. You cannot stand before your enemies until you take away the accursed thing from among you. The reason why sometimes we're not having victory is because there's something that we're not dealing with. There's secret sin. And because of secret sin, Israel could not stand before their enemies. They could no longer overcome their enemies because in a sense they were in cohorts with their enemy. They had taken the things that belonged to the enemy that had to be destroyed or devoted to the Lord. And because of that, they were unable to stand against their enemy, and they were in fear of their enemy. You see, God's perfect love casts out all fear. When your heart is pure and the love of God is shed abroad in your heart, you're not afraid of the devil. You're not afraid of your enemy. You're not even afraid of sin. Whatever that sin problem you had, it's like, was that what I was so bent out of shape over? Was that what seemed to be so big in my life? It's really nothing. Was that what I was so worried about? Oh, God is so much bigger than that problem. Hallelujah. He's a giant slayer. Amen. So Achan, finally, they said, well, line them up house by house. Family by family, tribe by tribe, man by man. And they did a lineup and they discovered that it was Achan, and he confessed in verse 20. He said, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and this is what I have done. And when I saw among the spoils, what he did, he said, I saw, here's the lust of the eyes, among the spoils, a beautiful Babylonian garment, 200 shekels of gold or silver, and a wedge of gold weighing 50 shekels. I coveted them and took them, and there they are hidden in the earth in the midst of my tent with silver under it. Have you ever had something that's eaten away at you? You know, maybe you stole something, you know, when you were a kid or whatever, and you had this thing, it was like, oh, that's really awesome. But there's this other part of you that's saying, man, I really am not enjoying this because I got it the wrong way. You ever felt that way? Maybe you ate that cookie and said, you know, that cookie could have tasted better if it was offered to me, if it was a legal cookie. But, you know, that we've all done that, and we felt like, man, this is what I thought I wanted, but once I got it, I discovered it wasn't what I thought it was going to be. That's what sin is. It looks so good. He said, I saw it. I coveted it. I really wanted that. And then I took it. And then the next thing it is, he said, and I hid it. And that's what we do with sin. When Adam and Eve were exposed, amen, when they sinned and they lost their covering, the glory of God was gone, they went and hid. And the Lord sought them out because he loves them. He still loved them. Adam, where are you? See, that's what Jesus did for us, amen. He sought us when we were in sin because he loved us. He sought you and I. He looked for us. I came to seek and to save that which was lost. God's heart is redemption. God's heart is to heal and to restore and to make new. And God's heart is to share his glory and his kingdom with us. But we've got to be honest before God, and we've got to make sure that we get rid of the stuff, the junk, the hidden sin, which not only affects us, but it affects others, our family, people that we love. We need to understand, folks, that we've got to deal with sin harshly. Harshly. Do not play with it. Do not dabble with it. Do not try to justify it. deal with it harshly. Get rid of it. It's an accursed thing. It brings a curse. How many know sin is a curse? And Jesus came to deliver us from that curse, to break us free from the power of sin. Amen? And yes, even as a believer, we can have secret sin. We can hide, try to hide things from God, but we're not really enjoying it. And God is saying, give it up. Let it go. Repent. Turn away from your way. My way is the way of life. You want to live? You want the blessing of God? You want the favor of God in your life? Listen to His voice. Do what He says. Get rid of it. Get rid of the accursed thing. So they had to remove, folks, Achan from the camp, everything that belonged to him, and it was burned. He was destroyed. And you say, well, that's pretty tough stuff. What, you know, why all that? Because that's how severe God is against sin. Why? Because sin is like cancer to your soul. If you don't cut it out and get rid of it, it will poison you. It'll kill you. You've got to deal with it. Jesus said, if your hand offends you, cut it off and cast it from you. It's better for you to enter into life maimed than to have that hand and go to hell. Deal with sin severely, that severely. Don't play with it. Every trace of sin had to be removed from the camp, every trace of it. Likewise, every trace of sin has to be dealt with in our hearts. And you know God has the power, amen, and the ability to cleanse you from all unrighteousness, all of it. But we have to be honest. We have to quit making excuses, and we have to say, God, I repent. I repent of this. I'm turning away from it. Well, what could be an accursed thing today? Do you think maybe people that have good luck charms, people that call the psychic connection, people that go see the fortune teller? It's a secret thing. I don't want anybody to know I'm doing this, but I'm actually secretly looking at my horoscope. Well, it's just a horoscope. No, it's not. It's more than that. It's something that God forbids. How about drugs and alcohol? Just a little nip, you know, nobody's going to see. It's a secret sin. Pornography. Oh, nobody will know. Just me and my computer here. Pornography is an evil thing because it is taking a creation of God and turning it into an object of lust. It means you're taking maybe a beautiful woman and now she just becomes an object of lust. This is a soul that Jesus shed His blood to save. Man or woman, they're precious to the Lord, and we should not disrespect anyone. Amen? How about hatred, unforgiveness, envy, jealousy, pride, these things? I'm holding in my heart animosity and this thing against you because of what you did to me. I'm going to hold on to that, and I'm going to hold it against you, folks. And maybe you say, brother, how's it going? Oh, it's going great, man. Praise the Lord. Or sister, how's it going? Oh, great. Couldn't be better. And yet in your heart, you know that you haven't let someone go. You haven't forgiven them. And so it's a secret sin, and it's eating you alive. And the tormentors are there messing with you because you know it's not right, but maybe you're having a difficult time getting rid of that thing. Know this, that God has enough power, enough grace to set you free and to give you the ability to forgive even your enemies. God can do it. Turn to Him. Don't trust in your own ability. Trust in His. These are just a few things. And so Israel went down in defeat due to one man's sin. This is my point today, folks, is that don't think that what I do as an individual does not affect other people. If I am walking in love, I'll be considerate, amen, of others. If I'm walking in love, it means that I'm not going to allow anything in my life, even if I may think it's my liberty to have a beer or to drink or whatever social drink. I'm not getting drunk. But I want you to ask the question, is my liberty potentially going to cause someone who does have a problem with alcohol to stumble? If so, then I'm no longer walking in love. I'm not walking with a consideration that even though liberty that I have in my life could cause someone else to stumble and fall. If I claim to be a Christian, especially in America, what are people expecting a Christian to be? Amen? Well, is my liberty saying something different? You know, people are really they're looking for somebody who's authentic. I hear about these Christians, but I haven't seen one yet. How many know that we should be there, amen, to say, hey, this is what a Christian looks like. And what you're really seeing is the fruit of Christ through my life, because I'm dead to myself and I'm alive in Him. I'm not going to indulge myself in something that could cause you to stumble. I'm going to finish with this. Hebrews 12:22. Speaking to the church. How many here are in the church? We're part of the church, God's church, His people. But you have come to Mount Zion, into the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven, to God the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect, to Jesus the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. This is who we are and where we are positionally in Christ. See that you do not refuse Him who speaks. For if they did not escape who refused Him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from Him who speaks from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now He has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not only the earth but also heaven. Now this, yet once more, indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken, as of the things that are made and the things which cannot be shaken, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. Is anybody beside myself experiencing a shaking in your whole world? Do you see it? That the whole, everything is being shaken around us, folks. But that which cannot be shaken will remain. And that which cannot be shaken is our standing in Christ Jesus, the solid rock. Amen? The anchor that holds within the veil. Hallelujah. The anchor of our soul that connects us to Him. If we are trusting in Him, we will not be shaken. We will overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Amen? We overcome by the strength and the ability of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So He says, listen, guys, speaking to the church, do not refuse Him who speaks from heaven. If you've heard God today, if God has spoken to you about something today that you need to deal with in your life, please do not refuse His voice. Amen? Because you will not be able to stand up against your enemies. Because you will not have the love of God in your heart that gives you a supernatural ability to rise above fear and worry. You will not have that peace that passes all understanding. If you've got something hidden in your heart that is hindering you in any way in your walk, it's time to get rid of it. And the only way to get rid of it is to confess it to God. Would you bow your heads this morning? Would you do that right now and just say, God, I hear You. And this thing in my life, this secret sin, I don't want it anymore. I repent today, Lord. I turn away from it. I renounce this secret sin. Lord, I confess to You my sin today. And Lord Jesus, I ask You to forgive me. Cleanse me from all sin, and deliver me from the power of sin. Break me free from every shackle and every chain of the enemy. Your word says, whosoever the Son sets free is free indeed. Jesus, make me free indeed. Set me free. I repent today. God, I give You all this stuff. Take it from me. Just cast it upon Him. Maybe it's just worry and fear and other things in your life. Just cast it upon Him. Say, Lord, I give You that fear. I give You that worry. Take it from me. If there's someone in your life that you haven't forgiven, right now take the opportunity and just forgive them. Cancel the debt. Just let them go. Say, Lord, grant me the grace to forgive this person. And speak to that person now. Release them. Let them go. Why should you be kept tethered and bound by the enemy? Get rid of that secret sin. Lord, I thank You that the blood of Jesus Christ has prevailed against the enemy of our soul. Lord, I thank you today that you have spoiled principalities and powers and rulers of wickedness. Jesus, I know today that you are Lord of heaven and earth, that all authority has been given unto you. And in your name today, we take authority over every tormenting spirit in this house. And we command you in the authority of Jesus Christ to get out right now. The Lord rebuke you, Satan. Satan, take your hands off God's people right now. In Jesus' name, the Lord rebuke you. Hallelujah. God, I just pray right now, release the anointing. Destroy every yoke. Break every shackle and every chain of bondage. Every connection, every ungodly soul tie, we sever it right now. In the name of Jesus, we sever it at the root. In the name of Jesus Christ. Let your kingdom come in now, Lord. Let your will be done now in us, in your people. Purify your bride. Purify your people. Set our hearts aflame. Give us holy passion to glorify your name. Let your fire fall.